Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Hello, I'm Felton Wooten, the creator of the Quality of Life series and Aging Gracefully, and we have with us tonight Charles and Carmen Cedar Shepherd. Are you with us, Charles and Carmen Cedar?
Yes, we are.
Yes, Felton, we are.
Great, great, great. Well, for our listening audience, it's a great opportunity to share an important topic for me, and it's important because I've worked in the nursing home profession for right at 40 years, and my desire is to help adult children and adults incorporate different strategies in their life to age gracefully. This is a second part of a 12-part series focused on aging gracefully. And the first part was the changes that people had to make in their lives if they were a caregiver or if they were potential caregivers. So we had two in part one. One person, Corey Risham, was living close to his parents, but then moving into the caretaker role. Then at interview, Terry Croom, who lived away from his mother. And during this Christmas season, or during this season, where we're reflecting on our life and looking at the next year. The second part is on spirituality. And I met Charles and Carmen Cedar several times, and this is a story where Charles was pronounced dead for over 45 minutes, and it certainly impacted his life and his wife. So, Charles, could you just tell our listening audience about that experience and how it changed your life?
Well, Felton, it started, I was at the Farmer's Curve Market where we have our business, and I was having chest pains all day long. But prior to that, the day before, I had ate a Mexican food that night, and I thought I was just having indigestion. And so all day long that Saturday, I kept having these chest pains, but I thought it was indigestion. We even had an EMS nurse there, and she said, "You don't look good, you know, you look really bad." And so I said, "Oh, it's just indigestion, and I'll be okay." Well, later on that evening, I was sitting on the edge of the bed, and I was in pain, and my wife was getting ready to take our grandson home. And she said, "As soon as I get back," which was right up the street, just a couple of minutes away from us, she said, "I'm going to take you to the hospital." That's the last I really remember, because I had passed out at the time she came back up the steps. And I tell you, my life has definitely changed 110%, because before then, my wife used to always pass me and touch my heart and always say, "God bless your heart." I never could figure it out. But she knew that I wasn't living right by God. I was out there in the streets. I had a buddy lived across the street from me, drinked all the time. So, you know, I kind of fell in that groove of drinking and everything, you know. I think a lot of it might have came from a loss in my family. And she always would walk past and say, "God bless your heart." And she used to always tell me, you know, "One day God is going to change you from all that drinking and everything." And so just so happened, I had the heart attack, and she had to save my life.
And when you say she had to save your life, what exactly do you mean?
Well, she was on her way out the door, and God stopped her at the door and spoke to her and told her, "Go back up those steps and check on me." And thank God she did, because I wouldn't be talking to you today. She came back up the steps, and I was on my way over. I had had a massive heart attack. And she was you know, luckily she had both phones with her. She had my phone and her phone. And she was able mm-hmm. to call, dial 911 and call our daughter at the same time. And so she started chest compressions on me, and she was just a pumping away on me. And so about 3-4 days later is when I woke up, and then that's when I really found out what really happened to me.
Wow, wow. That's remarkable. That's remarkable. And Charles, when we're talking about this whole aspect of spirituality and aging gracefully, what have you done to get your affairs in order? And did you have them in order when you had the heart attack?
The business was really growing at the time, but I didn't have my lifestyle in order. When I say mm-hmm. that, you know, I was thinking Charles was in charge, but I come to find out God was really in charge, because mm-hmm. when I left and I died, you know, when I came back, I crossed over to the other side, and I saw all these beautiful bright lights and crystals, and like I was floating on a cloud going up. And I remember after I really had a chance to get my faculties all together, because people was asking me, what did you see, what did you see? But it took mm-hmm. several days for me to get my faculties together, and we helped raising our little grandson. And at the time, you know, this little boy, he's just crazy about me, and I'm crazy about him. And so... Mm-hmm. And we was raising him, helping our daughter raising. And I remember seeing him. And and they said I was fighting when I was on this Arctic sun, frozen. And the doctors were saying no way I could be fighting, but the nurses and my wife was telling the doctors he's fighting. And so I think this is when I was trying to get back to Earth.
Mm-hmm. Now, for our listening audience, and again, when I talk with you and Carmen Cedar, you shared, tell the audience about this whole procedure, and I'm not sure which one wants to speak on it, about the Arctic sun procedure.
Well, my wife knows more about that, so I'm going to let her speak on that, because when I was in the coma, in the induced coma, you know, they was telling her exactly what was going on with the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Felton. Charles was on the Arctic sun about 3 days. He was in an induced coma 5 days. And
mm-hmm.
He was on life support for that period of time, for 5 days. And the Arctic sun, the purpose of that, they started lowering his body temperature when they were in our home. And the purpose of that is to bring down the body temperature to help preserve any further damage that could have occurred to his brain or to his organs. Because the heart had completely stopped, it could pose damage, hemorrhaging, and damage to the brain, causing the person to be in a vegetative state. So to lower that body temperature perhaps could help them. So as they arrived at Moses Cone Hospital, they applied cold pads around the body. And the body temperature is normally, the normal body temperature is 97.7 to 99.5. The same applies in Celsius. It's 36.5 to 37.5. And they lower the body temperature to 33 degrees below. And it's amazing because he was cold. And I was just completely at awe by looking at him and the state he was in, but I still had faith to believe that God was able to accomplish that he set out to accomplish, and that was to bring life back into my husband. And the procedure is just an amazing procedure that they perform now to help preserve life in victims whose hearts stop. So I thank God that they were able to use that procedure on Charles. That was 3 days. They begin to warm his body temperature up. Once you start warming up the body temperature after being on the Arctic sun, the warmth has to be applied at the right amount of speed and time, because if the heat applies to the body, the warming procedure applies to the body too fast, it could actually kill the victim. So the procedure has to be done precisely, accurately. And the Moses Cone specialists and doctors were right on task. They themselves were rooting and praying and helping me, as well as his family, my family. So there was so much support that we received, and it was just amazing. I thank God that because of that procedure, it helped bring him to a point of being able to recognize that who he is. It took time for him to get back to this point. He had difficulty with his cognitive skills as well as his motor skills. Because of the heart stopping, it did bring difficulty. But perseverance and faith and prayers all over the world, as well as family and support, is what helps get him back to his normal state. So God is awesome. It's all about the power and of prayer and faith.
This is a truly remarkable story. But and also, Charles and Comasita, Charles, this gave you a second chance in life.
Yes, it did.
And now you have an opportunity to share with others who may be caregivers presently, who potentially could be caregivers, and those who are seniors, so that when we're aging and we want to age gracefully, the thought came to me, you doing the Arctic sun and you were actually fighting, you saw the light. Now, prior to all of this, had you ever experienced any symptoms that you can think back on as it relates to the heart attack?
No, none at all. You know, we had been going to the gym. We had joined this gym that was around the corner from us, and we had been going regularly. 2 days prior to that, before I had my heart attack, you know, we was in the gym, and all of a sudden I just got really fatigued. And so we was on the elliptical, and me and her side by side, and I told her, I just can't do this right now. I don't know why. So I told her I was going to go in the gym and shoot some basketball with some of the guys. I couldn't even shoot the ball. You know, I was just fatigued. I mean, I told the guys, I said, I can't do this. You know, you got to get somebody else to take my place. And I came back out and told my wife, I can't even shoot baskets right now. And she said, well, you must be really tired or something. You need to rest.
Wow.
Felton, if I can share something, I think that we have to be very observant within our bodies. Sometimes we get to a point that we become unaware of the symptoms that we're having. And I think that in Charles's situation, it was that way, that he was noticing chest pains, but we thought it was indigestion, as well as the doctors gave him medication for indigestion, and this was years and years ago. And we just assumed from maybe 8 years ago, even up until now, as he was having those same indigestion pains, he would take this medication and it would ease up. But he had a stress test prior to his heart attack. About a month prior, he had a stress test, and he went in for a complete physical. He was told he was as strong as a horse, and he was very active. But sometimes you're eating. I know that he would eat all kinds of crazy foods, and I don't know if hereditary has anything to do with it, but Charles told me that his father had multiple heart attacks. So, but we have to, and especially men and women, have to be very aware of the symptoms of anything that is different or abnormal. And as a caregiver, it is not always an easy task to take care of someone that was in a situation such as my husband, because the pressure and the stress can be so overwhelming, but I wanted to do my best. This was my husband. It was my responsibility to care for him. And mm-hmm. I thank God for that, because the familiarity of being at home versus a facility, as well as the music and the activities and the surrounding environment and him speaking with his family, it really did help. And his mother was a great inspiration. His sisters were an inspiration. So we are, it's difficult, and then it can become easy. Without support, it's such a very strenuous type of change that can take place in one's life.
And you're exactly right. And Charles, after that experience, now, was it easy for you to talk about actually dying and then seeing the light and going over to the other side?
Yes, it was. It was very easy, you know, because I saw the power of God and just how powerful mm-hmm. he really is, you know. So I feel that he gave me a second chance to go out and share that great word of how great he really is. You know, even okay. we joined the church, and about a month later, I'm sitting in the pulpit with the pastor. And I'm like, I'm looking at
wow.
myself, I'm up here with the pastor. <You know? laughs> And the name is Bridge Over Troubled Waters in Greensboro. And so, it's a phenomenal church. I mean, I love my pastor and co-pastor. And so, we just have a bond there, you know. And the great part about the church is, they believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. So that's mm-hmm. the great thing about it, because they can understand the power of God and what God did for me.
All right. And then with those signs, wonders, and miracles, how did it affect you and your wife and your business, this experience?
Well, actually, I'm going to let her speak on that, because she know it was a struggle, because I was kind of, you know, laid up for quite a while, and mm-hmm. her and my daughter had to kind of run the business themselves. So I'm going to let her speak on that.
You know, Felton, it was one moment, a very scary experience, because I was so used to being with my husband. And there's a certain part of the business he runs and a certain part that I run. And no one can do his job like he does. So mm-hmm. for us to step in and try to fulfill his obligation was a very difficult task for us. My responsibility was to care for him. it wasn't easy for me to do both. My daughter stepped in and tried to do the best she could, but it was a very strenuous responsibility. I was afraid to leave him because of the strain that he experienced, and then going back in November. This happened in 2013 of September, and when he had the cardiac arrest, then after getting out of the hospital and recovering, getting his cognitive skills back, his motor skills, being able to remember numbers and to remember how to operate his phone, 2 months later, he went back into the hospital and had an open heart surgery, a triple bypass. So to me, every second was a moment of walking on ice, on AIDS. It was, I didn't know from one moment to the next. It was, if he breathed too hard, if he moved a certain way, it was always something that startled me. So it took me almost a year in order to be able to recover and be comfortable with leaving him or letting him go on his own, get back into the business, operate it as no one else could but Charles. So it's not easy when something happens to a loved one and you're left with a responsibility to keep things going. It's not an easy task. No one can say that it is, because there's a part of you that's missing, and it just doesn't work the same way. So, you know, we think differently now. We've prepared more. We've our insurance preparing to be just very cautious, careful about our life, not taking it for granted, not taking one another for granted. So it is mm-hmm. a major change that have taken place in our lives. And we've always loved each other, but now I love him and I respect him. I always have, but now he has the heart of God. And to me, God placed a new heart in his life. He gave him a special heart. And it's amazing, Felton, to recognize what God did. I saw it. I saw it firsthand, and when I look at him, I see nothing but a power that is beyond words can ever explain.
Right. And with that comment, Sita and Charles, that power would not have occurred if you had not had certain documents in place. Will you talk about how important it was to have the power of attorney and the healthcare power of attorney? Because without that, your conversation with me, he wouldn't be here.
You're right, and he would not be. When we went to the car, when we arrived there at Moses Cone, we were presented by doctors that asked if we had a power of attorney. And I'm thankful that we were allowed to have that. I was allowed to sign for the power of attorney for my husband, because with him being on life support, there's a moment that not everyone understands the trauma involved, and the whole family is affected by it. Mm-hmm. And not everyone sees things the same way. And then there are some that might want things done one way and some another. But I know what my husband's wishes are. And he's a fighter. And I knew that he was able to get beyond all of this that he had come upon, that had come upon him. So to have power of attorney to be able to say, whatever medication you need to put him on and that is going to work for him, as his wife, you can do that. And I felt comfortable to be able to speak for him, because if I had not had a power of attorney, that would have been a very difficult situation to be in.
And you're right, and that's one of the, I guess, the platforms of why I'm doing this 12-part series on elder care planning. It's aspects in your life that you got to think about, you got to plan for, you got to have discussions. And by you all going through actually dying and then having to regain a lot of those abilities, your planning helped get you to this point. Now, did it leave you any legal ramifications or any legal problems as it relates to this whole experience?
You know, it did not leave us. It financially, it left us in a financial strain. I thank God for my husband's mother, because if it had not been for my husband's mother, she sacrificed so much of her time in terms of her money. Because we had gone through our 401k, we went through all of our savings, we went through everything trying to survive and maintain our financial obligations. Neither one of us were working, bringing any income in the home. So we used every bit of income we had from savings and 401. And Charles's mother understood, and she understood, and she loves him. She loves him. His family loves him immensely. And you know what, Felton? That was a very, very difficult situation for his sister, his mother, mm-hmm. and his relatives to be in, because they live in another state. So they were not mm-hmm. all able to get here. And so the trauma and the pain of not being able to get here for her son and for his sister to get here, that posed some very, very strenuous problems between us. And I understood that, because they were hurting. And that's a difficult situation when one of your loved ones is in a traumatizing situation and you can't get to them. It hurts you. And so they were suffering inside. And there are emotions that fly and words that fly. But, you know, I thank God. His mother is an amazing woman. His sister is an amazing woman. All of his sisters and family members, his cousins. And I thank God for them, Felton, because family is so important. And without the support of them, we would not have been able to get through what we got through. So it helps to not just have financial backing, but it's from your savings, from your own business. But because we depleted what we had, they step in, and it was just I don't know what I would have done without them.
Mhm, mhm. And right now I'm going to give you an opportunity again with our listening audience. I want you to think about what you're going to say to them, people who are the children, people who are seniors. What you're going to say to them about what suggestions you might have. But with my website, qualityoflifeeldercare.com, people can go there and see some of the services and materials I have available, listening on thinkdeepradio.com, this series. But tell the listening audience about your business and how they can get in touch with it if they want to order just this remarkable sauces and other kinds of things that you have.
Okay. Well, the name of the business is Sir Charles Gourmet Sauces. We have recently changed it to Sir Charles and Queen Carmen Gourmet Sauces. I am his queen, of course. And it, our address is P.O. Box 8506, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27419. And we have a location, 501 Yanceyville Street in Greensboro. And we are located there every Saturday from 7 a.m. in the morning until 12 noon. And we do have a website. It is www.sircharlesgourmetsauces.com. And you can contact us by email at charles@sircharlesgourmetsauces.com. And you can order online. We have four sauces that are in a variety of stores in the Greensboro area, in Charleston, South Carolina, in Chapel Hill at Southern Season, in Virginia, in Maryland. And we offer a mild gourmet sauce. We offer a hot gourmet sauce that has a medium heat, a habanero gourmet sauce, and our harsh radish steak and seafood sauce. And our gourmet habanero sauce won numerous first places here in Greensboro in an Oxford contest. And my husband is a certified chef. I call him an executive certified chef because he has created these multiple sauces, and it is an exceptional product, and anyone that is listening would appreciate the unique flavors that it offers to any dish. And the phone number is area code 336-298-1851. And also, Felton, you said in terms of contacting your website and in terms of anyone that is out there listening, recognize symptoms, recognize changes that take place in your body that is unusual. Love your friends, your family, because life is so short. Elderly, we have to care for them, support them, encourage them, as well as those in our homes. We have to recognize the importance of loving one another. Never take for granted the days that approach you. Always, always recognize that each day is a gift. It's not just given to you. It's a gift.
And Felton, I like to say one thing, like, to the younger people, start a savings and don't touch it, because when you get older, you just might need that money. You know, thank God for my mom that we had her. But if we hadn't had her, you know, we don't know where we'd be at today. We probably wouldn't be talking on this radio show right now. We'd probably be homeless somewhere. But so they really need to start saving now, and don't touch that money. You know, because like they say, you know, you got to save some for a rainy day, and you definitely have to. And try to find the best insurance that you could find, because we had insurance, but after we got all of our bills and after the insurance company had paid, we still ended up with about a $700,000 bill after the insurance paid.
Wow.
So it's best to start looking for all these things now while you're young, and then you won't have these high payments.
Yeah.
Later on.
And I'm going to mention there's someone apparently that is listening that has their speaker on near the phone and is echoing. So if that person has a speaker on, if they don't mind turning that off. So, Charles and Carpacito, I love this I guess, mantra for life that you have. What defines us is how well we rise after falling. As we conclude our show, give us some thoughts
around that, and any other thoughts that you want to share to people that are experiencing taking care of a loved one that's sick, someone who's not sick, but potentially it could happen to anyone. What are your parting thoughts?
Well, you know, I experienced it, you know, when I was living in Seattle and I came to help my two sisters because they was taking care of my father, which had had numerous heart attacks. And it was just a burden on them. They was trying to work and everything, and my mom just couldn't do it because she was at that age. You know, she needed that help. So I sacrificed and came home to help them out. So I got a taste of what they was going through. You know, family really have to bond together when you have a loved one that's sick. You know, such as when I had my heart attack. Thank God I had my family back in Illinois, my family here in Greensboro. And so I'd just like to say, just come together, you know, come up with a plan, you know, and everybody just do their part and do their share, because for one person to do it, I saw my wife for a whole year, you know, not getting any sleep or rest, because every little time I moved, all I heard, are you okay? Are you okay? I mean, so I knew she wasn't sleeping. Or if I go to the bathroom, she's standing by the door waiting for me to come out to help me get back in bed. So we really have to take heed to people, you know, that are trying to help you, you know. And you're going to develop that closer bond with them, that love for them. And so, you know, I just say, you know, as a family, be a team. You know, it just ain't about, there's no I in team. You know, everybody has to chip in and help out.
Okay. And Carmen Cedar, before we end the show, any parting thoughts?
Yes. Philippians 4:13 is one of my favorite scriptures. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And any direction that God is leading you, anyone out there, there may be fear that come upon you, challenges with family members, challenges with helping someone who has Alzheimer's, helping someone who is in a state of not being able to help themselves. But, you know, always remember the power in you is much greater. And once we begin to realize the strength that we gain through Christ, because all things are possible. I realized that in the situation I was in, all things, no matter what situation you're going through, never, ever, ever become defeated, because you'll never know what you can succeed or how you can succeed or accomplish a feat unless you try. Don't give up. Just keep believing that you will accomplish that thing that you have set out to accomplish. So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I just love those scriptures. They got me through the most difficult task. It wasn't me, but it was through Christ I was able to achieve.
Well, this has been a powerful message. It's a powerful spiritual message that can reach. Right now we have about 8,000 people per day turning 65. So there are children that may be faced with taking care of a loved one. There are seniors who may experience. What you've shared tonight will help propel people to make decisions, think about how they're living, what they need to do, and again, even the documents that are important. Again, I want to thank Charles and Carmen Cedar Shepherd for sharing the story, their story. They've had a very busy day, but I appreciate them being on and sharing. And the good thing is these shows are archived, so you can send it to other people and tell them to go to thinkbigradio.com and they can hear this. Again, thank you so much, Charles and Carmen Cedar.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Felton.
You have a blessed day.
All right.
Evening.
You too. You too.
Bigradio.com.
Okay.
Where
bye-bye.
Thinkers come.